Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. We had a little chuckle up front this morning, and it had to do with behind where John and I sit here in the front pew. There were actually three or four pews right behind us that were empty, and I asked John if there was something maybe we forgot this morning, like deodorant. And he blamed it on Amy, the pianist. But thanks to the Williams, they came in, and their eyes weren't watering, and they sat down, and so we think everything's okay. It's good to gather together. It's good to be together. We're here to celebrate. This is the day that the Lord has made, but it's also Palm Sunday. That day when we celebrate Jesus' triumphal ride into the city of Jerusalem that began the trek of Holy Week that ended in the resurrection. And so great things lie in store for us. Just a couple of things. We do have the new directory, and it's been printed out. We're asking on the first run, or this Sunday, feel free to take one per family. Y'all can decide what family means, but take one for family, making sure that we have enough so everybody gets one. And then if you need a second one, you can pick one up next week as well. Also, just a reminder about Camp Odioquwa. The registration for early registration is April the 21st. We as a congregation have made a commitment to our kids saying we'll send you to Camp Odioquwa. And so the basic directions and the weeks are there in the bulletin. There are two opportunities for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders and 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. They can go 1 week either time. Well, technically, they can go a second week, but mom and dad's going to have to foot the bill on that. We will send our kids to camp, and so let me know if your kids are going so that we can coordinate with the camp, making sure that that gets taken care of. But really a great opportunity and a fantastic thing for our kids. Softball, there's a sign up on the Welcome Center if you're interested in playing softball. It is a men's league, and so would encourage the men of the church to join in with us. My goal this year is to have enough guys on our team so that I can coach first base. So the challenge is out there. If you don't want your pastor playing, then you have to sign up. And that's just the way that it is. And so looking forward to playing softball. And this is the year. I can feel it. This is the year we're going to win it all. And so if you are able to play, I would encourage you to sign up. And we'll get some practices and some things lined up as we move into the future. Also remember, this week is Holy Week. And so there's a number of special things that we do. On Thursday evening at 6 o'clock, we have communion and feet washing. We'll have communion here in the sanctuary, and then we divide up, and the men go down here in the front for feet washing, and the women go into the lounge for feet washing. And it's just a really neat time for the body of Christ to gather together. If the whole feet washing thing kind of makes you go, really, come anyway. You can observe from a distance and see exactly what happens. We encourage you to give that some consideration. And that's on Thursday night. Then on Friday, here in the sanctuary, we have what we call self-serve communion from 9:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. If people want to come, there'll be a little sheet to kind of walk you through communion, and you can just have some time to partake of that together. Then on Saturday at 1 o'clock, we're going to do an Easter egg hunt. And we have invited the Melrose School to come and join us. So we figure we'll have somewhere between 1 and 150 kids. and so looking forward to that and just what all that might mean. But it's just a great time to get together. The eggs have been gathered, and we're just all excited about that on Saturday. Then on Sunday, we'll have a sunrise service at 7 o'clock. We'll be on the entranceway outside, so please come prepared to be outside, sitting on a nice, warm metal chair. Appropriately for that, and we'll have that, and then our normal times for our worship, the Sunday school at 9:15, and then worship at 10:30 next Sunday. And so just keep those things in mind as well. As far as prayer requests, there are those in your bulletin, and would ask that you add Steve Culbertson to your prayer list for this coming week. He's going to have some tests run, and he's kind of nervous, and so keep Steve Culbertson in your prayers as well. Anything that I may have missed? Yes. There was a young lady,
Carrie.
Carrie Dillon, don't know her married name. She passed away this past week, and please keep the family in your prayers. Yeah, Judy. Oh, yes. One of our folks, Mark Zimmerman, is having a procedure done probably, I think he said it was next week, on his heart, and so keep him in your prayers also. Yeah, Linda. I can't hear.
Nancy Smith.
Nancy Smith.
She's in the hospital for a brain bleed,
and they're probably going to have to do surgery. They already did surgery. Okay. Okay. She's had two surgeries and then is scheduled for another one tomorrow. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we gather together and we acknowledge that you are God and we are not. And we don't always understand why things happen the way that they do, but we know this, that you are a God that's in control. You're a God that sees everything that's going on. You understand the whole picture. Sometimes you call your people home. Sometimes we are healed and you use surgeries and different medicines to enable that to happen. Sometimes you reach down in the midst of it and do a miracle. Lord, what we do is we stand before you just acknowledging that we're doing what we can. And sometimes we're just limited in our humanness, and we just need you to draw close, to give encouragement, to give healing power, to be there in the midst of life circumstances. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would be with each and every situation that has been mentioned here today. May your hand rest upon these individuals and upon families, because we're all affected when these difficult times come. Lord, assist us that we might truly come together to celebrate. We're thankful for the things that you're doing in our midst. And Lord, we're really looking forward to Saturday and having a boatload of kids here, and to be able to celebrate Easter and to share with them the real meaning of why we celebrate Easter. And Lord, just walk with us and be with us in that, and prepare those hearts for what's going to be shared. And Lord, just watch over them. Lord, as we celebrate this day and the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you, that you would hear us, and Lord, that together we might be able to do more than what we could ever ask or imagine. So come and be with your people this day, and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, I'm going to ask those who will be joining the church if you would come down front. That is last week's bulletin. Last week's. We're just going to stand right here in the front. Yeah, just turn around and face everybody. Look at them like you really want to see them. Some of them are a little scary. We continue to work on that. But you know, one of the things that's fantastic to celebrate is some of the things that God is doing in our midst. And as he brings people to our congregation, and as we're able to join together, it's just truly a fantastic thing. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 5 says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So I ask you this morning, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And having been reborn by the Word and the Spirit, will you follow and serve him as the Lord of your life? If so, answer, I will. Do you accept the Bible as God's inspired Word? And will you make it your guide through life? And do you promise to follow its teachings faithfully? If so, answer, I will. Do you promise to support the church faithfully with your prayers, your presence, gifts, talents, your means, as the Lord may bless and prosper you? If so, say, I will. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's exciting. It's exciting when you add to our number. It's exciting when we can join together in fellowship with other believers. And Lord, you're just doing some fantastic things, and we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would increase the relationship. Lord, that we might become stronger in our diversity, that we might be able to do the things that you ask of us. And Lord, we welcome them into our family and just ask, Lord, that you would continue to walk with them and walk with us, that we truly might walk together. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is Carolyn Coe, this is Dan Coe, and this is Kayla Roby. Thank you for joining the church, and would invite you at the end of the service today to come to the back, and you can kind of greet and get to know everybody. Okay, thank you. I believe you're up.
What's that?
I believe you're up. Songs? Sometimes as pastors, we get all excited, and then we forget to do little things. So we definitely want to have our hand of fellowship this morning, and like always, would invite you to greet those around you. Handshakes are fine, fist bumps are good, elbow bumps are appropriate, and smiles for the rest. Let's stand together as we share with one another.
Well, good morning. Let us join together in song, shall we? We're going to start with number 301, We Will Glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
And now number 320, A Nice Place to Be, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Beneath the cross. cross of Jesus I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. There lies beneath its shadow, but on the farther side, the darkness of an awful grave that gapes both deep and wide. And there between us stands the cross, two arms outstretched to save. Like a watchman set to guard the way from that eternal grave. Upon the cross of Jesus mine eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, three wonders I confess: the wonder of his glorious love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross.
You may be seated.
Our scripture for this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews. I believe it's the fourth chapter. I don't have my bulletin in front. Yeah, fourth chapter, the 16th verse. It's just one verse, and it says this: let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. This time, if the kids want to come on down, we'll have the children's sermon. Ah. Oh, that was close. All right. Okay. Now, I want to read a scripture from Luke chapter 19, verse 40, and it says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You see, Jesus was walking with his disciples towards Jerusalem, and when they got to this place called Bethpage in Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he called two of his disciples to him and said, go to the next village. You'll find a donkey there. Bring it to me, and if anybody asks you about the donkey, just tell them the Lord needs it. Well, the disciples did as they were told and brought the young donkey to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it so that Jesus could ride on it. Now, he rode along, and crowds were in the streets, and they began praising Jesus, shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," and "Peace in heaven," and "Glory in the highest," and quite a stir. But as they were doing this and things were getting riled up, some of the Pharisees, they were like pastors in that day. They come along and said, "You're creating too much ruckus." And Jesus said to them, if they remained silent, the stones would immediately begin to cry out. I don't got nothing. Do you hear anything? Hear anything? Why do you think the stones aren't talking?
I don't know.
Why?
Because they don't have faces and they're not alive.
They don't have faces and they're not alive. That would be one logical reason. Yeah.
Because they have no house or family.
They have no house or family. They're just rocks. But Jesus said, if everybody remains silent, then the rocks will cry out. So it tells me that we must be telling the stories of God's word or the rocks would be talking. So if you ever hear rocks starting to talk, you need to remember to tell people about Jesus. But I was wondering this morning, about rocks, and they've been around a really long time. And, let's just pick one. Let's just say this one. Maybe this one is talking about the little shepherd boy, David, and how he picked five stones up whenever he attacked the giant Goliath and killed him. Maybe that would be a good story. Maybe this one would talk about Elijah and how Elijah built an altar out of stones, and that he might sacrifice to God. I don't know, maybe this one would be and tell about how Solomon used stones to build a beautiful temple in Jerusalem so that people could worship him. And maybe this one might tell us a story about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and that when the storms of life came, the house stood still. I don't know just exactly which rock would tell which story. But I do know this. I do know the Bible says that the rocks will cry out if we don't tell the stories of Jesus. So we need to make sure that we're talking about Jesus, or the rocks will start to talk. And that is not only weird, but a little bit scary. And I don't want that to happen. So let's bow our heads and thank God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the promise that the rocks will cry out if we don't talk about you. But Lord, we want to be sharing you with those that we meet and telling others about the great stuff that you did, both way back in Bible times as well as today. Today we celebrate your traveling, your riding of the donkey into Jerusalem, and that was really cool. And Lord, we just want to let the world know that you've made a difference. Lord, continue to be with us that we might share your stories, that the rocks would not cry out. Watch over us, Lord. Amen. Okay, you can head ahead. As soon as the aisle clears, we'll have our offering this morning. And our ushers will please come forward. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all that you're doing for us, how you provide for us in times of plenty and in times of want. Lord, just continue to be with and walk with us. And Lord, we give to you. We give out of gratitude. We give out of responsibility. We give out of love. And Lord, we just ask that you would accept this offering, and Lord, that it would be used to further your kingdom upon this earth. Continue to watch over us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The nails from my hands, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. There's no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead and try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, 'cause I'll come again. There's no power on earth can hold me back. Yes, I'll come. Come to take my people home. Come to take my people home. You
know, it's always fun to celebrate the major holidays in the life of the church, to be able to get together and be together on Palm Sunday. it's just a really fun time to gather and to see the joy on people's faces. And last Sunday we talked about Good Friday, and Good Friday is just a tough one. Good Friday, we kind of talked about looking up to the cross instead of looking down, to get our eyes off of our phones and refocused on the God that loves us, and kind of just to work through that and process through that as we're thinking. And today it's Palm Sunday, that day that we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he was going on the donkey, and he rides in, and they lay the palm branches down, and it was just exciting. I mean, y'all don't look like you're excited. Matter of fact, some of you look a little nervous. But I mean, it's supposed to be an up. I mean, it's a celebration. It's Palm Sunday. I mean, they were yelling, praise, you know, Hosanna, yay, woohoo. Y'all still don't look like, you know, you're quite there yet. But I mean, it's that whole concept of celebration and coming together, because Jesus came and he lived his life. And on Palm Sunday, they really thought he was the king that was coming, the one that was going to change everything. Now, this morning I have three things that I want to use to kind of help us remember what Palm Sunday is really all about. And so technology is wonderful. The first thing that we're going to talk about is a donkey. Now, I don't know about you, but probably most of us have seen a donkey. They're kind of cute in their own way. A little bit cute. Not really. But they are known for one thing. Donkeys are known to be, everybody together, stubborn. I mean, it's one of those things that they really do and do well. I mean, Why would Jesus pick a donkey to ride on? I mean, when we think about his triumphal entry and he was coming in as a king, kings in that day, you rode on a regal horse. I mean, white horse with flowers and all kinds of stuff and up high. And you would come in and you would be the powerful one, and you're going to make a difference. You know, okay, my impersonations are really sad. But it's one of those things. They would ride in, and it would be power and honor and glory and victory. And, well, yay! I mean, it's like when the football team comes on, you guys really are looking sorrowful. I mean, but it's an exciting thing, and all this pomp and circumstances, and the people would shout, and it would be wonderful. But Jesus came on a donkey, of all things. Why? Well, in Zechariah 9:9, the Old Testament's got a prophecy that says that the Messiah would come riding a young donkey. And then in Is that the right scripture? Yeah. And then in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and you will at once find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, that just say that the Lord has need of him, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. I think there's another slide. Whoops. Okay. A foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to ride on, telling us exactly what was prophesied in the Old Testament. So Jesus came riding in on a donkey because it was set years and years, 400 and some years before this, that Jesus was going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, specifically a donkey. I'm still struggling a little bit. The whole donkey thing in Jesus, I mean, why did Jesus want to ride on it? Was he afraid of horses? I mean, nowhere in the New Testament do you see that Jesus rode a horse or a chariot. So maybe Jesus didn't like horses and chariots. God hates horses. No, I don't think so. I think what God was trying to say as Jesus rode in on the donkey is that Jesus was not going to be the king that they anticipated. Jesus was not going to come with that power to upset the Roman government. He wasn't coming with a vengeance to be poured out upon his enemies. Jesus was coming as the promised Messiah, humble and riding on a donkey. He was coming in humbleness, not in power. Jesus knew when he rode into Jerusalem on Sunday that the following Friday he was going to be nailed to a cross. He knew that was going to happen, and as they were singing him praises, he knew that this was all going to be twisted and turned into something that was going to be evil, and his life was going to be taken from him. He came riding a donkey humbly. And I think he was trying to let the people know that he was not what they expected. They didn't get it. Of course, we have hindsight, and so we understand. We can't figure out why they couldn't figure it out. But at the time, they just didn't get it. You see, as they went through all the Old Testament scriptures, they would say he was going to set up a new government, and all of these things that were there and prophesied that the Messiah was going to do, they saw Jesus and they said, okay, here's the dude. He's going to do all of these things just like we thought. Have you ever studied end times? Yeah, so we know exactly what the Bible says about the end times. So we know the sequence, we know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what countries are going to dominate, what countries aren't going to dominate. It's all right there in black and white, right? No. Well, yes, no. You see, we know that the end's going to come. It's talked about, but it's in broad brushstrokes. And we don't know the specifics. We don't know the day and the hour. We know that the day and the hour will come. All we know is it's not right now. And that's okay. You see, it's the same way. We know this is going to happen. When we get there, we'll understand. But until we get there, it's going to be a little bit aloof. And we have to work with that. In the same way, they had this idea of, or concept of what it was going to be like when the Messiah came, but it wasn't just what they figured. And when Jesus came in on a donkey, riding in humbly, it should have changed their perspective. And it did. About a week later, they begin to understand what Jesus was doing. But he came riding in on a donkey, humbly. The second thing I want to talk about this morning, or the second item, is a palm branch. Now, we all know that Jesus came riding in and they took their cloaks off and laid them down. They put palm branches down to kind of symbolize they were honoring Jesus. They wanted to give him notoriety. They wanted to say, look, you're something special. And we see that. And so we want to pave the road for you that you're not walking on the dirt. You're above that. And they wanted to kind of give that concept out. And they were cheering loudly. Woohoo! Yeah, loudly. And as they were doing this, as Jesus is coming by and they're shouting, it would be like, I can't remember. They got a new quarterback for the Browns or whatever. But anyhow, if the parade comes along, you clap. Whenever the fire truck comes along and they're throwing candy out for the kids get all excited and run for the candy. And you have to be careful. They throw the candy far enough to keep them away from the fire truck. And moms or dads are in panic mode. And there's just all kinds of commotion. It's a wonderful thing. And Jesus came in, and they put down the palm branches and all this so he could ride over top of them. And they were singing, and they were shouting, and it was pandemonium, it was chaos. And they wanted Jesus to know that we get it. You are the one. Jesus. You're not very good at this. But you see, so often, things are just a flash in the pan. So often, things seem to be so much more than what they are. It's kind of like a few years ago when my children were younger, we told them, we're going to take you to Disney. And they were excited. They wanted to go to Disney. They were so excited to go to Disney. And we got on the plane and down to Disney, and we had a hotel on Disney property. Oh, we did it to the max. It was awesome. And we, first day, we got all ready, and we into Disney, rode a little bus over and into Disney, and it was so exciting. And then we got inside Disney, and it was not what my children had in their mind Disney was going to be. And they wanted what was in their mind and not what was reality. And they were almost excited as you all are. You see, when something doesn't live up to our expectations, a lot of times we just don't know what to do with that. And it was a pretty tough week with my boys. Now, we had a lot of fun. It was a good trip. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it could never have lived up to their expectations. And sometimes life does that to us. It really doesn't live up to our expectations. And Jesus was coming in on Palm Sunday, and they were fired up. But things were going to come crashing down rather quickly. Matthew 21 verses 8 through 11 says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. And they asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, did you notice that? They said, who is this? This is Jesus the prophet. See, they didn't get it. They wanted him to be the Messiah, but when they asked who he was, they didn't say he was the Messiah. They said he was a prophet. Already, and he's going through the town, they're still saying, woohoo, woohoo, but he's just a prophet. It seems to me that down inside, they really didn't believe Jesus was going to do what he said and what the prophecy actually talked about. They just dropped him down a level from Messiah to prophet. But they waved the palm branches and they did the whole victory chant and that whole smattering of stuff as they came in because they wanted him to be the Messiah. But they wanted him to be the Messiah that they wanted him to be. And so many times in our lives, we want a God that's going to do what we tell him to. And then if he doesn't do what we tell him to, we get mad at him. Let me tell you the truth. I know in my own life and in my own heart, if God did everything that I ask him, no one would ever die. No one would ever be sick. No one would ever have an automobile accident. No one would ever be crippled. No one would ever, and we can go on down the line the whole way. But God said there's sin in the world, and because there's sin in the world, things are not going to work out right. Things were perfect. Man chose sin over God. And because of that, there are ramifications, some of which we have control over, some of which we don't. And sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes the Messiah is who he is and not necessarily who we want him to be. Now, there were a lot of cheering and a lot of this thing going on, and a lot of people didn't fully understand. And John tells us in John 12:16, it says, at first his disciples didn't understand all of this. Lights click on. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. They finally realized that it was all right there. Do we really understand? Are we really ready to sing praises to God and to accept what he has for us? Are we ready for God to be God and for us to be his creation? That we don't get to tell God what to do, but he can tell us? Are we willing to accept that from him? Today he's riding into Worcester on a donkey. Are we willing to praise him? But will we continue to praise him? Third in our journey are the rocks. Now, we talked a little bit about that in the children's sermon. We talked a little bit about if we don't tell the stories, if we don't tell the accounts, if we don't tell the truth of the scripture, then the rocks will cry out. I've had several people already this morning come to me and say, you know, when you put your ear down in that bucket, I wanted a mic.
Arnie, this is God.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that have been so cool? but anyway, will the rocks cry out? Palm Sunday is kind of that snapshot that represents Jesus' life, his love, his sacrifice, his commitment to the greater story, God's ultimate work. And he rode into Jerusalem. He didn't arrive in order to raise more support, to gain more approval, that his campaign rally would be filled and everybody there would get enough likes and get enough votes that he would be Messiah. That wasn't his goal. He knew that in a few days he'd be suffering and die on a cross. That same crowd that was shouting Hosanna would eventually shout, crucify him. Yet it didn't change his purpose or his actions. Jesus' purpose was not dependent on human approval or praise. He made it clear. Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40, it says this. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, we're not sure if there's anywhere that's recorded in the history of mankind that the rocks began to sing. There has been some rock groups sing. There have been people that said maybe their pet rock has talked to them. But nothing at least that's been as proven as far as what we know. But yet, are we willing to say it's possible? Could rocks cry out? Is it a possibility, or was God just saying, you know, make sure you do this? I learned my lesson many, many years ago when God says something like this. I believe that rocks could cry out. I know they don't have mouths. They don't even have a face. I know they can't take in a breath or push one out, but I know this. If need be, rocks would cry out if we as God's people would be quiet. I don't want to test him. I want to be able to share the things that God is doing so that the rocks would never have a need to cry out. That we would be sharing the great things of Jesus on an ongoing fashion, that the rocks can be content to be quiet. Now, I've had a few rocks that were thrown at me. I've had some different things happen along those lines. I didn't enjoy any of it. Me and rocks are not on a first name basis, but they are necessary. And I know that God said the rocks would cry out. Somehow they would be able to do that. If God can make a donkey talk, anything is a possibility. You see, Jesus was there and he was trying to let us know that even when it's difficult, we are to be his people. When it's easy to sing on Sunday morning, join in and let your voice be heard. I believe between here and heaven, there's a gigantic filter that even my voice sounds good to God. You can have your own perspective that's not biblically based. That's just Arnie Kaufman. And so I feel free to sing out. You can ask anybody up here leading music on Sunday morning. I feel free to sing out. I let my voice be heard. The thing that we must remember is it's easy on Sunday. But what about Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week? Now, you may hear me singing from time to time. It's very noticeable. But more so, you'll hear my voice sharing the things that God is doing. Are we willing to share those things that God is doing that the rocks wouldn't need to cry out, that we would be able to share with the world the great things of Jesus? The stories that are recorded in the Bible is what gives us a foundation to share the rest of the things that God is doing. How he's changing our hearts, how he's giving us hope, how he continues to walk with us and guide and direct our path. You know, we have insight that the disciples didn't have. The process that time gives us to look back on what has occurred. Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and we're kind of still there today. And I have some words from Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is above and beyond us and understands the story from beginning to end. He knew that Christ was going to give his life on the cross and be buried and be resurrected 3 days later before the earth was formed together. For God knows all things. And he looked and he said he wanted a people that were willing to worship him and honor him because they chose to do so. And he created the world anyway, knowing that Jesus would have to give his life. And he came and walked through the process and did everything that needed to happen so that they could see the day coming and it arrived and that we would be able to look back on it from the future to impact our hearts and our lives forevermore. Are we willing to see God that way? Are we willing to kind of understand that Jesus came in humility and he lived with us and he was obedient unto God? And to understand the fullness of John 3:16. There we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus' life and his purpose was to bring God's love and life to the world. And he bridged the gap. And he made a way that God might be reunited with man and we might understand more of who God is and he would be able to be part of who we are. And we'd be able to know and to be able to relate to him. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence." It enables us to really be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's there for us and loves us and invites us to come and to be with him and where he is and join together with him each and every day. And our verse this morning from Hebrews chapter 4:16, once again, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. We live in a world that evil continues to gain power. We live in a world that continues to rail against us. We continue to live in a world where it would be easier and easier to keep quiet and hope the rocks would take care of business. But I, for one, don't want to hear from any rocks. I want to be part of the sharing of the gospel, part of the living my life in such a way that the world would see a difference and see the God that loves me and loves them. Will we do that this year at Easter? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and we just ask that you would continue to be with us and continue to walk with us, to give us courage and strength. And Lord, we think of the donkey and knowing that Christ came in humbleness and a willingness to give his life on the cross. He was looking forward to the cross when he was riding on Sunday. Help us as we share and as we love that our love would never fade. For you are always with us. Give us the courage to share that the rocks need not cry out. Amen.
I invite you to stand and join us in our closing hymn. Lean on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
May God's hand continue to be upon us, to guide us and direct us. May we be willing to share with the world the difference that he has made, that the rocks need not cry out. Amen.